I want to continue this evening in our series on finding the New Testament church. As we've been talking about, there's a need to find it because there are so many that claim to be the New Testament church, but they are not. And for us to find it, we've got to go to the New Testament and see what the New Testament says. We've looked at the church as the called out body, the household of God, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the temple of God, and tonight we're going to look at the vineyard of the Lord. We used to sing a song, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I thought that was the words. I couldn't find that in the book that we have, but there are songs about the vineyard, but we have gotten away from talking about the work. And the vineyard shows the work of the church, the work aspect. It emphasizes not what we get from the church, but what we do and what we give. There are different parts of this. Matthew 20 and verse 1, the kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom of heaven referring to the church, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So the church is like this landowner that goes out to hire workers to work in his vineyard. We are all workers in the vineyard working for the landowner. With the vineyard of the Lord, this describes the work of the church. There is the sowing of the seed that we have been talking about on our Sunday morning class. We are the laborers. We've got to find out where this place of labor takes place. There is fruit that we are to bear for God. And then there is a reward at the end of the day. There are a lot of parables talking about this aspect of the church. One in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. With the parable of the sower, again, we are working for the landowner, going out, sowing the seed. He goes on to explain this parable about the seed. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom, again, this is a parable about the church, does not understand it, then the wicked one has come and snatches away what was sown in his heart. We are going to be teaching people, sowing the seed about the kingdom, but Satan is going to come away. And as we sow the seed, he's going to try to snatch that seed out because he doesn't want that seed to bear fruit. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So in the kingdom, in the church, we are to go out, we are to sow the seed. Some people are going to receive it. Some do not have deep roots. They're going to be choked out by the cares of the world, the riches of the world. They are not going to be fruitful. But those of us that hear it and receive it and keep that word in our heart, we are expected to bear fruit. So where do we sow the seed? Who is responsible for sowing the seed today? Well, the church is the agency that does that. In Philippians 1, 4, and 5, Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What's this term? We talked about fellowship a couple weeks ago. It's a joint participation in spiritual things. And here the church at Philippi had fellowship with Paul in that they were supporting him as he was going about preaching the word. The church is the sowing agency today. It's not colleges and universities that are supposed to spread the word. It's the church. He goes on to explain this in the fourth chapter of Philippians in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent, and once again, for my necessities. So Paul was taken care of as he was going and preaching the gospel. The gospel is sounded out from the church. It sounded out, 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, from the church, from the kingdom, from the vineyard, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. God wants us to sow the seed. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to sow at every opportunity that we have, to send the word out everywhere. What is the seed that we sow? We know from the other lessons, we understand that it is the gospel. In Luke 8:11, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, in 1 Peter 1:21 or 23. So we have this this principle, this concept of sowing the seed, the gospel seed. Now, if we take that gospel seed that was preached in the first century, and we sow that seed today, and it germinates, what is it going to produce? Is it going to produce a Methodist? No, we can't read about that in the Bible. Is it going to produce a Baptist? We can't read about that in the Bible. Any of those religions, denominations that exist that came about after the first century, they're sowing some other seed. They are sowing. You have to sow a different seed to get a different fruit. Again, using a physical example to explain a spiritual reality. If you sow a tomato seed, you expect to get a tomato. If you sow a tomato seed, you aren't going to get a pumpkin. If you get a pumpkin, you sowed some other kind of seed. We all understand this. This is nothing new. You go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. They weren't to mix the seed in sowing the seed in their vineyard back then, but people think that they can do it in religion today. How do they do that? What's the seed that they mix in today? Well, Jesus explains that in Matthew chapter 15. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What is the seed that they are mixing in today? The commandments of men. They are mixing the tradition in, and we are warned we cannot mix the seed. It's pure, it's undefiled, it's incorruptible, because we want, when we sow that gospel seed, we want to produce that result that came about back in the first century. Well, when we think about the seed, it's not going to get planted by itself. You have to have workers. God gave us this seed, but somehow we got to get this seed into the hearts and minds of individuals. Again, that takes place in the vineyard, in the church, not in some other agency. So we've got to have workers. We've got to have laborers. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." So a couple things to take out of this passage. Again, we have the kingdom of God, the church, and this man. He had two sons representing two different groups of people. He came to the first. He said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He said, I'm not going to work. But later he changed his mind and he went and worked. He came to the second and he said, "I go," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? The one that actually did what the Father wanted pleased the Father. Now you think about the Jews who Jesus was speaking this to. What did they say? "Oh, I'll do the will of the Father." But did they do the will of the Father? No, they followed the traditions of men. The Pharisees would bind all kinds of things on the people. This is one of the reasons why it was the fullness of time for Christ to come to the earth, because they had turned their back on God. Things were ready, things were ripe for the coming of God. After he came, a few years after that, Jerusalem was destroyed. The whole system of Judaism was done away with because they rejected the Christ. But who accepted Christ? He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." The people of society that the Jews looked down on, that the Pharisees looked down on, they had the heart that was ripe for accepting that seed, that gospel seed. So when we talk about workers, laborers, we see we are called. There's a call. We go work. There's a relationship. We are sons. God is our Father. There's a time to do it. When did he say, man had two sons, came to the first and said, "Go work"? When? Work today. Work today in my vineyard. Everybody will say, "Oh, I'll go work in the vineyard. I'll go work when I get around to it. I'll go work when I retire. I'll go work when I've got time." We were talking about that this morning, all the excuses we have for not having time. There's a divine time. It's today. Today is the time that we go to work. And where is the place? In the vineyard. And again, friends and young people, pay attention to this. In school, they will tell you all kinds of jobs and careers to choose so that you can make money and have all kinds of things in life. Your work in the Lord is never in vain. No matter what you do in some other career, there's going to be disappointments, there's going to be setbacks, there's going to be frustrations. The work that you do in the vineyard is never going to be in vain. Our work in the Lord is never in vain. So the Lord needs laborers. And back to the parable in Matthew chapter 20, he goes out to hire them. He went out early in the morning and all through the day. And he kept hiring workers. And in chapter 20, let me read a bit of that, a bit more of that. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went, and he sent them out in the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said, "Why have you been standing here idle all day? Why aren't you working?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go in the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." You can just hear him crying and complaining to the landowner. Verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." So you go back to the time that Jesus was preaching during his ministry. Preaching to who? He was preaching to the Jews. The Jews, you know, God's chosen people, the God's favored nation. They looked up to Abraham. "We are Abraham's seed. We are special." And what did they do? They rejected Christ. They rejected him. And what did Christ do? He turned to the Gentiles. He made it possible for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom also. Did the Jews like that? They didn't like that. They didn't like that. And they looked down on the Gentiles. They looked down on them as dogs. And they tried to impose parts of the old law. Well, if you're going to be saved, you have to keep the old law too. Whatever God says to us is right. "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. If I wish to give to this last man, the same is to you." We should be thankful, friends, that we as Gentiles have the same right to the reward that the Jews were offered. But he was going out to hire more men. And when the Jews did not accept Christ, we see God's wrath upon them for abusing his gracious provisions that he was giving to them. He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder." There is nothing special in us. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. "Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God," we're talking about the church, "the kingdom of God," the church, "will be taken from you, the Jews, and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." Your pedigree doesn't guarantee that you're going to go to heaven. If you're a Jew, that didn't guarantee you're going to go to heaven. Nothing against anybody at all in this room. I'm just making a statement. If your daddy was a preacher, doesn't guarantee you're going to heaven. If your daddy was an elder, doesn't guarantee you're going to heaven. If your husband is a Christian, doesn't guarantee you're going to heaven. If your wife is a Christian, doesn't guarantee you're going to heaven. It's the one that bears fruit is the one that's going to heaven. We can't go on the coattails of anybody else. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Again, the vineyard of the Lord, it emphasizes the aspect of work, working in the church, bearing fruit. We must be faithful in our work. Let no man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery, or let a man so consider us as the servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are a steward, we are a worker, we have to be found faithful. We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Again, we have to know God's word. We have to know how to use God's word. We have to understand it. We have to be busy doing that. The place, again, the church, the vineyard, this is where God's wisdom is made known. It's made known. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by those big schools out there, might be made known by all the institutions of men, might be made known by whatever you want to come up with. No, it's made known by the church. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose, this was God's plan before time, the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, where? In the church. In the church, by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we've got to bear fruit. The church is to bring glory to God. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, we understand what this is. It's fruit. We can see it. We can see it on this slide up here on the screen. What if that was a blank slide and I said we've got to bear fruit and you didn't see anything? That's what some people think. Oh, I'm going to bear fruit. Well, show me your fruit. What do they have to show? Fruit is something that's tangible. We recognize fruit. We've got to bear fruit. Why? That we will glorify the Father. There's a curse to being unfaithful. Now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. So we see God's pleasure on a tree that bears fruit, on a vine that bears fruit, that bears much fruit, and we see his displeasure on a plant that does not bear fruit. That's not acceptable to him. It's not acceptable to him. It's not hard to understand. Again, a physical example with a spiritual application. So how do we bear fruit? Well, we need to be faithful. There's a lot of ways to bear fruit. We need to have brotherly love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And again, this is not just something we think about, something mental. It's something we demonstrate. It's something we can see. How do we be faithful? How do we bear fruit? We can care for the poor. Romans 15 talks about the contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. How do we be faithful and bear fruit? Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, somebody will say, if we go out and build this institution or we do this or that, that's a good work. How do we know it's a good work? Is it because some man said it's a good work? No. We go back to Colossians 3:17. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Wherever we can find authority for something, wherever we can find a pattern, where we can find authority, where we can find a pattern, where we can give a thus saith the Lord, we speak as the oracles of God, any of those things, those are good work because it's supported by the Father. But man comes up with all kinds of things, and they call them good works. And they may be good in sense of the world, but not in the vineyard. And you know another way to consider what is a good work in the vineyard? It's what the vineyard owner says is good in his vineyard. And you think about farmers. We don't have too many vineyards around here, but we have a lot of farmers around here. This farmer may want to do something one way. This farmer may want to do it another one, and this one another way. So we go to work for this farmer, and the farmer tells us how to do something, and this person says, well, I like the way this farmer over here did it. I'm going to do it this way. The owner of this farm isn't going to be pleased. This may be something good over here, but it's not what the owner of this farm said. And the same with the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the church. The owner of the church, when he says this is a good work, we know it's a good work. If he doesn't say it's a good work, it's just like that flyer I held up a couple weeks ago about their turkey dinner being postponed. You know, a lot of people would say, well, that's a good work. Well, did the owner of the vineyard say that's a good work? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So we need to be faithful. We need to have the fruits. If we're going to bear fruit, we have to have the fruits of the Spirit. Again, it's tangible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We need to abide in Christ. John 15, 5 through 7, talking about the church being the vineyard, abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gathered them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So a few slides back, we were talking about that fig tree. And I said we see God's approval when a plant bears fruit and when a plant does not bear fruit. And here we're talking about branches and vines. For without me you can do nothing, and if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gathered them and throw them into the fire. In the vineyard, if your branches, your vines aren't producing, they're worthless. You just rip them out, you throw them into the fire. But what's going to happen at the judgment? If we aren't bearing fruit in God's eyes, We're worthless. What's he going to do with us? He's going to cast us in the fire. He's going to cast us in the fire. How do we bear fruit? When we contribute to the Lord's work. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Again, back to the giving, and why do we give? We give to do the work of the church. The edifying, the evangelizing, benevolent help to other saints. And if we do not give, we are robbing God. We're robbing God. That's the story that Malachi was telling us as the Old Testament closed. And he said, you know, you give to God your leftovers, the lame, the blind, the animals for the sacrifices. Give it to the governor and see what he thinks of it. And some people in the church think that they can give their leftovers to God and he's going to be pleased. And again, talking about a work, our labor is not in vain in the Lord, in the church. And as I've said before, you want to know the best place to invest your money. And I like watching some of those shows just to hear what's going on in the money markets out there. You get all kinds of opinions from A to Z, and that's all I do is listen to them. But they'll talk about put your money in this, buy that, and it'll change. It'll go up. It'll go down. You can get rich. You can lose everything that you have. But you invest your money in the Lord, and you are making an eternal investment that will last for all time. You just stop and think about that. We're working in the vineyard. God has set up again a pattern of how we are to do things. And we take that money and we go out and we teach others. We edify one another. We build each other up. We share the gospel with others. And the return on that, if we took all the money that had ever been collected from this congregation since the first day it started, we took all of that money and we saved one soul. How much is that one soul worth? It's worth more than the whole world, because that one soul is eternal. It's eternal. We need to bear fruit. We're working in the kingdom, in the vineyard, the kingdom of God. We need to grow. We need to hire more workers in the vineyard, because we want to please the landowner. He wants his vineyard to get bigger. He tells us to work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And notice, you tie that together with what we read earlier when that landowner had the two sons. When did he want them to go work? Today. He wanted them to go work today. And Jesus, here in John 4, he's saying, don't look and say, oh, it's going to be 4 months till there's a harvest. Don't look off out into the future. The harvest is right now. We've got to be busy today. We've got to work today. And when we work in the vineyard, and when we are faithful, we will be rewarded. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. We expect to get paid. Sometimes we get paid differently than what we expect. Sometimes we may be misled. Our boss may say one thing and it ends up being something else. With God, we aren't going to be misled, and we are going to get exactly what we deserve. We lead a faithful Christian life. Our wages are going to be eternal life. We live a life of sin. And what's the wages of sin? It's going to be eternal death. Paul, writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Friend, we are in the kingdom today. We are in the vineyard. We are working in the vineyard. There is going to come a time, and like in this parable, the men were arguing with the landowner about what they should have received. Are we going to be arguing with the vineyard owner on the day of judgment? We aren't going to be arguing. In 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, if we are a faithful worker in the vineyard, we produce fruit, we have an inheritance waiting for us. We can count on it. It's a sure thing. It's kept, it's reserved. That's what I want. That's what I want. Don't you want that? And again, what's the alternative? If we aren't faithful and we aren't bearing fruit, we are going to receive what we deserve. And it's not going to be a surprise. And if you do not want to receive eternal punishment, the only person that is stopping you from that is yourself. God wants you. He wants to reward you for your faithfulness. He sent his son to die and make everything possible. He's made everything possible in the church, that once you become saved, he adds you to the church and you can grow. And others will help you to grow and produce fruit. The choice is up to you, friends. Make the right choice. We beg you, we implore you. Please come now as we stand and sing.